Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. If you're listening to this as I am releasing it Friday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. at Central Time in the United States, if you're kind of tracking with the life of Jesus during Holy Week, Jesus is on trial at this very moment as you go through your Good Friday. And so it's more of a somber podcast, and yet I want to explore in this podcast the various trials that Jesus went through after his arrest on the evening of Maundy Thursday. Actually, some know this, some don't know this, but there are six trials that Jesus went through during that time period. And so we want to go through them, get a sense of what Jesus went through, how this all went down, how it got to the point from Jesus' arrest on the night of Maundy Thursday to his crucifixion on the morning of Good Friday, just a couple hours away as I release this podcast on Good Friday. So track along with me. We'll go through the six trials and let you know some things about them. Here we go. We're going to start in the Gospel of John, chapter 18. Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. So there is some confusion in the scriptures, not confusion in the scriptures, but the confusion that we have over who exactly was high priest and how this all worked out, because both Annas and Caiaphas are called high priest. So what's going on? Well, there's various theories about how this worked out. And one of the theories, I'll just throw one of them out there for you. There's others you can find online, is that Annas was the Jewish high priest. And when high priests serve, they serve for life. However, he was, we believe, deposed by the Romans in about 15 AD, and his son-in-law, Caiaphas, was put into the high priesthood by the Romans. And so Annas would be the high priest, universally recognized by the Jews. Caiaphas was the essentially acting high priest, put there by the Romans. So you have kind of both of them serving and being able to be called high priest. So first trial is in front of Annas, the Jewish high priest that year, father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the Roman installed high priest that year, at least according to that theory. And then comes in the Gospel of John some scripture about Peter and his denials. And then the account of Jesus' trial before Annas picks up. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I've always taught in synagogues or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why are you questioning me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why do you strike me?" So there's this first, illegal, by the way, because it's happening at night. Jewish trials could not happen at night, but illegal trial before Annas. And Jesus seems to have a little dialogue back and forth with Annas about his teachings. They don't get very far. And so the next trial of Jesus ensues. Let's get that up here. This one is, we're going to read from John and then from Matthew, because Matthew provides more detail about this trial. So John continues where we left off. "Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest." So again, they're both being called high priest. And I gave the theory as to why that might be, at least one theory. So Annas sends Jesus bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. And then Matthew picks up the story. "The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death." So here we have an illegal trial. They're looking for false evidence against Jesus, but they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward, which he needed at least two witnesses. So here we go. Two come forward and declared, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent. So here before Caiaphas, Jesus remain silent, kind of has a different, little bit different take than he does before Annas. So Jesus is silent. The Sanhedrin, assembled around Caiaphas, is having trouble. They can't figure out how to get Jesus legally charged and crucified, which is a problem for them. It's also a problem for Jesus because Jesus knows that he's come to die for the sins of the world. And so here's what happens next. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus wouldn't have had to answer, but he says, you have said so, Jesus replied. But I say to you all, from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death, they answered. And so Jesus realizes, as he's standing there silently before Caiaphas, that things are going nowhere, that he's got to get the ball rolling. And so he incriminates himself in front of the high priest in order to get crucified for you and me. How about that? Though both those trials illegal. So at daybreak, Luke 22 tells us about the third trial. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. If you are the Messiah, they said, tell us. And Jesus answered, if I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I ask you, you would not answer. Okay, how's he going to be crucified? Well, he's going to have to incriminate himself, so here he goes. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of God. They all ask, are you then the Son of God? And he replied, you say that I am. Then they said, why do we have any more need of testimony? We have heard it from his own lips. So Jesus, in this first legal trial before the whole Sanhedrin, incriminates himself and is condemned by the Jewish leaders. So what happens? They lead him off to Pilate because the Jews have no authority to put him to death legally. And so they led him off to Pilate. So the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. And I'm going to show you where this happened later on. But now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. The Passover lambs were going to be sacrificed that afternoon, 3, 4, 5 o'clock kind of time frame. And the Passover meal would be eaten then that evening. So they didn't want to defile themselves. They were very concerned about not defiling themselves so they could eat the Passover. Of course, they weren't as concerned about putting an innocent man to death, but that's another story. So Pilate came out to them and asked, what charges are you bringing against this man? If he were not a criminal, they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. Well, then Pilate said, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone, they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Because the Jews put people to death by stoning, Romans put people to death by crucifixion. Jesus had prophesied that he would die by crucifixion. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied, your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you've done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews, gathered there, and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. So, trouble is on the horizon here for lots of different people. For the Jews, because they want to put, well, not all the Jews, but the Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin, they want to put Jesus to death. And Pilate is saying, I got nothing here, people. He's innocent. And of course, that's a problem for Jesus because Jesus wants to die for you and me. So we got problems all around. And meanwhile, Pilate's between a rock and a hard place because the Jewish leaders are going to mutiny against him here if he doesn't put Jesus to death. Well, what happens next? The Jewish leaders insisted he stirs up the people all over Judea, which is in the south where Pilate is, Jerusalem. He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way down here. So Galilee is about 100 miles to the north. Well, on hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, this is Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great, the guy who killed the baby boys in Bethlehem. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, because Herod ruled in Galilee, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. We'll show you a little bit about that later. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied Jesus with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. Jesus was not very fond of Herod, in part because Herod had put his cousin John the Baptist to death. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked Jesus. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. So this is the second Roman trial now. First, before Pilate. Pilate finds him innocent. Says, I find no fault with this person. He's been accused of being king of the Jews. Then he gets sent over to Herod. Jesus refuses to talk to Herod. And Herod lets him go. Finds nothing wrong with him. Can't figure out what to do with the guy. He wants to wash his hands of him. So he sends him back to Pilate. So now we've had three Jewish trials, if you're following along. Annas and Caiaphas, both illegal in the middle of the night. We've had a Jewish trial before the Sanhedrin where Jesus is found guilty. We've had two Roman trials, one before Pilate where Jesus is innocent, one before Herod where Herod says nothing. And now Jesus is going to go back to Pilate for his third Roman trial. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know I find no basis for a charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, Behold the man. And as soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, Crucify, crucify! But Pilate answered, You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. The Jewish leaders insisted, We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God. So they're upping the ante here. Before, they had accused him of being a king of the Jews, essentially subverting Roman authority. Now they're saying this man claims to be a god, which is going to scare Pilate. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. He went back inside the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize I have the power either to free you or crucify you? And Jesus answered, You would have no power over me if it were not given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. Again, Pilate is finding him innocent. That's crucial here. But the Jewish leaders now up the ante even further. And they keep shouting, If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. It was a club in the day. We'll call it a club, called the Friend of Caesar Club. You got an amicus ring to be in that club. Pilate was in the club. And if you were kicked out of the club of the Friends of Caesar, you had two choices, exile or death by suicide. The Jewish leaders say to Pilate, okay, here's the deal. We've had some trouble with you in the past. We've sent word to Caesar about it. Caesar's warned you about this to treat us well. If you don't crucify this man, you are no friend to Caesar. In other words, we're going to write to Caesar and tell him about this. And you are going to lose your amicus ring, and your choice is going to be exile or death. So Pilate, here's your choice. You put this man to death, or you're going to die. They're really upping the ante here. If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at the place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover. It was about noon. Here is your king, Jesus, Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate's just mocking them here. Pilate asked, We have no king but Caesar, the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to be crucified, and the soldiers took charge of Jesus. So what does Pilate do? He decides, it's either Jesus or me. One of us has got to die. Jesus is going to die in my place. Wow. How prophetic is that? Jesus is going to die in my place. That's essentially what Pilate decides. And so Jesus goes out to be crucified. We're going to close here by looking at where this happened. First, a model of Jerusalem that was made a number of years ago. So not all the archaeological evidence was available at the time this model was made. But if you look at this model, if you're watching on YouTube, is really the best place to see this. But there's the wall of Jerusalem. You can see right in the foreground of the picture. And the western wall of Jerusalem, not the western wall of the Temple Mount where the Jews pray today, but the western wall of the city of Jerusalem is there. And attached to that western wall of the city of Jerusalem was the palace that Herod the Great, the one who killed the baby boys in Bethlehem, he's known for in the scriptures, but he's known as Herod the Builder in history. It's the palace that Herod the Great built for himself prior to the birth of Jesus. It's a huge palace, and you can kind of see, this is kind of an artist, if you will, rendering of what it looked like. And you'll notice that it is has two places to live, if you will, on each end. And then in the middle is a huge courtyard, and it's surrounded by a wall to protect Herod from the people in the city. So it's a huge courtyard and two living quarters on each end. So when Pilate was reigning, in Judea, he would actually live in Caesarea Maritime on the coast. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. But then for festivals, for Jewish festivals like Passover, he would come down to Jerusalem and he would stay in Herod's palace in one of these two structures at the ends of the palace. It turns out, apparently, at that Passover, not only was Pilate in town, but Herod Antipas, Herod the Great's son, was in town, and he would have stayed at the other end, at the other side of the palace. And so you have Pilate on one side, Herod the Antipas on the other side, and a courtyard in between. So when Jesus is brought before Pilate, the Jewish leaders cannot enter this structure because they do not want to defile themselves from the Passover. And so what they do is they come, and this is not shown in this drawing because they were not aware of it when this model was built, that there is a gate into that palace from outside the western wall. I'll show you a picture of that in a minute, now that it's been discovered archaeologically. So they would have come to this gate on the western side of the palace, and that's where they would have approached Pilate because they could not enter into those palace grounds for fear of defiling themselves. So let's take a look at outside the western gate. There it is, the western wall of the city. And in this picture, you'll notice two kind of parallel lines going from the bottom left-hand corner towards the middle of the picture. And those are the edges of a staircase. And you can see the stairs a little bit in the middle between the grass there. So the people, the chief priests would have been gathered there outside the wall. And you'll notice, right, there's a tree in the middle of the picture. And just to the right of the tree are some steps leading to a wall. Well, steps don't lead to walls. Steps lead to doors. And so the door that was there, and you can kind of see on the stones in this picture, the stones are a little bit darker where the door would be than the other white stones around it. That door has been walled in, essentially. But these steps led into a door into the palace. Pilate would have come out and stood on those steps when he first was talking back and forth with the leaders of the Jews that day. And then there is a platform that you can't really see in this picture, but it's where the tree is in the picture. There's a platform there, the stone pavement, it's called, where Jesus was condemned to death. So this is it. This is where, this is like a 9.9 out of 10 possibility. I mean, this is it right here is exactly where Jesus was condemned to death. And you can go stand on this grassy area when you go to Jerusalem, and you can just picture yourself yelling, crucify him, because it was really not the Jews and not the Romans. Well, it was the Jews and the Romans, but it was really you and I who put Jesus to death. It was really you and I who, by our sin every day, yell, crucify him, crucify him. And the love of God, what immense love of God, that he willingly went to death, not only willingly went to death for us, but sped along the trials at various points, because if Jesus hadn't intervened, he would have gotten off. He could have gotten off scot-free, but he didn't. He went to death for you and me. He condemned himself, essentially, for you and me, that we might not be condemned, but live forever. That's the good news of Good Friday. Well, I hope this podcast has been a blessing to you. I hope that you've learned something about the trials of Jesus and about Jesus' commitment to go to death for you and me. I pray that you have a wonderful Good Friday as you contemplate the death of Jesus for you. And also, of course, in a couple of days, well, there's an exciting day coming. We'll let it go at that. We'll talk about that perhaps in the next podcast. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Eagles on the Hill. We want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about this podcast or other topics you'd like us to cover. Remember that those who hope in the Lord because of the death, well, the resurrection of Jesus, those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.